Good morning. This is April 12th, 2014, and KPFA LSB is now in session. And we welcome Mark with his oxygen. Thank you for coming, Mark. So the meeting is called to order. Roll call, please.
Okay. Well, good morning. We'll go down through the roll. And Alderson, I am here. Boschman? Boschman is here. Bernstein? Bernstein is not here. Edwards-Tiekert? Edwards-Tiekert is here. Urkola? Urkola is not here. Fuentes?
Here.
Fuentes is here. Gans?
Here.
Gans is here. Goldmacher?
Here.
Goldmacher is here. Gowen? Gowen is not here. Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez is here. Johnson?
Here.
Johnson is here. Coburn?
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil?
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Moore? Moore is not here. Pritchett?
Present.
Excuse me, Morgan. Morgan is not here. Pritchett?
Present.
Pritchett is here. Sanders?
Here.
Sanders is here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Sterling?
Here.
Sterling is here. Taylor Nichols?
Here.
Taylor Nichols is here. Travis?
Here.
Travis is here. Welsh?
Here.
Welsh is here. Whipperman?
Here.
Whipperman is here. White? White is not here. Wilkinson? Wilkinson is here, so that's 19 present, 6 absent, and a quorum.
Brian.
I'll move to excuse all absences.
Is there a second? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now we will move to approve the agenda. It is moved. Is there a second? All those in favor of approving the agenda?
Can we discuss a little bit?
Sure.
Thanks. I'm just curious. There was some discussion on the email about what the requirements are for getting an item on the agenda and what the timelines are for that. I'm just curious. Is a week in advance? Is that seven calendar days or 5 business days, or what are we? I'd love to have clarification on that and just to have it be consistent from month to month. I think I've been unclear. Maybe that's part of the problem. I noticed that there was a window from March 26th to April 1st, so it was 5 days where the agenda items were invited, and then we're about 11 days prior to the meeting. That deadline happened 11 days prior to the meeting, so I just was curious if there's something I can count on from month to month.
Right. As I explained in the email, we're trying to get, we need to get the notice of meetings up, publicly posted, at least a week in advance. And we are, our goal is to get agendas posted a week in advance. And once the agendas are posted, we can't make changes to them. So what we do is we've bumped the deadlines back a little to solicit agenda items for the agenda. And that we did on March 26th. I asked people to submit agenda items by the 1st. That gives the table officers, which we've, by agreement, we would like to review the agendas before they're publicly posted, so we don't have to make, we're not in a position where there are problems after they're posted. So the due date for submitting was April 1st. And that gave us time to review the agenda. The goal was to get it posted by April 5th. In fact, it was posted on April 6th. So that's the timeline that we've been working from, sometimes successfully and sometimes not.
Margie and then David. Margie and then David.
I guess I have a question for Craig, but the fact of the matter is that the agenda is
the property of the body so that when we meet, individual board members can offer additions or changes to the agenda. Is that right? Before we vote
yes.
to approve. Okay, thank you.
That's correct. David? Oh, he wants the mic.
I think that's what I was going to address.
I don't know what's on. Turn it.
I think that Margie addressed what I was going to address. Okay. Let me just clarify that Robert's Rules of Order says that it's the advanced agenda is only a recommendation, and that it under no circumstances should undue strictness be allowed to intimidate members or limit full participation. And the proposed agenda has to be adopted, and it can be amended. Am I correct? Is that our understanding?
What Robert's rule says, I think that's not exactly
okay.
what's controlling here.
Okay.
Yeah, and let me just clarify. We do everything we can. I mean, we're not in the business of preventing people from putting items on the agenda. So and we want to err on the side of inclusion, but there's a timeline, and there are just, you know, that we try to follow here. And that requires certain things. And as people have pointed out, people can make amendments to the agenda at the meeting. And this body has been pretty accommodating of those changes. And I think that's good. So that's the approach we've been following.
Jack and then Andrea.
I am personally open to considering any proposals for changes in the agenda. And I wish if somebody has a change in the agenda that they want to propose, they should propose it. But I think that talking about the ins and outs of the process of making the agenda and the constraints that the officers have in putting it together and posting it, that's kind of a waste of our time. So if you have an agenda proposal to make, please make it, and we'll deal with it.
Andrea? Okay. Margie, are we going to vote on the agenda? Do we have a...
Well, there's a motion on the floor. I just want to suggest that item number 11, the Pacifica Interim Executive Director, the current interim director, Bernard Duncan, cannot be here today. He's in Los Angeles. So that item will not be happening.
Okay, so it will not be happening. Okay, can we... Are you moving for a substantive change to the agenda? Good. Give her the mic.
Then I guess what I'd like to discuss, the item, I don't know if it'll happen under PMB report. Here's what... My concern has been throughout. There's a lot of doings going on here in our beloved station and network. And I feel that the right thing to do is to have as much of a public conversation about it as we can. I was concerned about the agenda because I was concerned about what would cause us to go into an executive session. And I didn't want to be in the position of here on Saturday where we begin to talk about things that border on lawsuits or border on personnel issues. I want to be able to have a conversation again as much as we can in public, but if not, the flexibility to go into an executive session if need be. And so my concern and why I was interested in having that is that I want to follow the rules in that regard. I'm also curious about whether or not the development item at 1:30 is time certain. How that impacts... I'm just finishing my question.
Yeah.
How that impacts the other items.
I was nodding to somebody else. Okay. Time certain, I think last meeting we did away with time certain and that we are going to go with agendas. I think we'll go with agendas if at some moment in time you have a feeling that it's important that we go into executive session. Why don't you raise that at that moment and we'll have a vote at that moment. And we can see whether or not we'll go to an executive session. But why don't we go forward? We'll be open to taking that suggestion if you feel that that's required. All right. On the agenda, It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Minutes. I think we had corrected minutes. They went out, and I think you raised the corrections that Janet had raised and put them in. They're reflected in the written minutes before us, Craig? Okay. Janet.
So this is not about the minutes draft. This is about one of the attachments or one of the items that is included in the minutes, and that it was my minority position report, BNB minority position report, that I emailed in PDF format, and it was changed by the secretary. There was some back and forth, and he posted it as a doc document, not my PDF file. In any case, the heading inside the document was changed, and I am requesting that at least the date of the report be included, March 8th, 2014, in the heading.
Okay, so that, are there any other additions or corrections? Do you want to discuss that, Craig?
Just to clarify, I didn't change any of the content of the report. It was just the title. And the reason is that you submitted a document titled Minority Report, and minority reports are produced by consent of the full board. So I couldn't call it a minority report because it hadn't gotten that approval from the board. But I just want to point out, I didn't change the content at all.
You changed the heading, but you took out the date.
All right, so the date is being, okay. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Did you have something you wanted to raise?
Just caught my eye. I think there's one too many N's in Mel's birth name.
There's what?
Mel Bernstein? It's Bernstein, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Spelling check. Thank you. All right. We are, where's my agenda? I think we're now at public comments. Is that right? We're now at public comments. Who's the timekeeper here? Somebody?
All
right. Well, but they can't see your time. We're giving, I think, given the size of the crowd, 2 minutes per speaker. Okay. That's all right. Brian's going to have a thing that they can see. All right. Do we have the sign-up sheet? And are people signed up? Who wants to sign up? Who wants to speak? Thank you. Right. I don't think so. Yeah, we approved the agenda. I know, but he's not here, so. Okay. who's the first one on there, Frank? While sign-ups are occurring, we can start the public comments.
No one signed up for 1, 2, or 3.
All right, well, let's have 9 minutes of silence. How about that? No, 6 minutes, 6 minutes. We will now have 6 minutes of silence. Two minutes. Come on, let's roll it. All right.
Thank you. My name is Max Blanchet. I have served on the board before, quite a while back. I'd like to bring to your attention something that I have raised before in writing. It has to do with the sorry state of the corner building. I've made that point before, years ago. I've been making it. I know these are hard times. There's no money. But the building is practically falling apart. This is one of the major assets of the foundation. Years ago, I arranged to have students of architecture come here and to take a look at the place and prepare drawings. I sent a letter to Arlene years ago, and really nothing was ever done about it. I think it's most unfortunate. It's a valuable asset of the corporation. Anybody who has property, who owns something, makes sure that they maintain that something. And as an institution, we've failed to do so. And I find this very, very disturbing. And anyone interested, I will be glad to send you what I wrote to Arlene and the drawings of students. There were at least 15 of them who came here and helped out with that. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Dennis.
That's me.
Could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. My name is Dennis Bernstein. I do the Flashpoint show on KPFA. I've done that for the last, since 1990. Before that, I did the Undercurrent show on WBAI for 5 years in New York, breaking various aspects of the Iran-Contra affair. I'm going to ask for a couple of clarifications and make a suggestion or two, if that's okay with you. First of all, I was inquiring with Brian Edwards Tiekert about who installed the security camera that now focuses on the Pacifica office, and I guess I asked the wrong question. Brian told me it was Michael Yoshida, and he did, in fact, supply a block of wood to help mount the camera. But I want to clarify who ordered the camera, whose decision it was to put the camera up there, and who's monitoring that now on a daily basis. In terms of discussion in the hallway, the other day I was just coming back and forth. I walk across the station to make copies of my materials. And coming and going, I overheard a very loud conversation. And the essence was, and I believe you were standing downstairs, Margie, and a couple of producers were upstairs, and it was a discussion about how you're going to take out or remove Summers from the office next door. I'm not sure what that dialogue is about, but I suggest that that's the kind of discussion you might want to have in private, because it really does create a hostile workplace, and we shouldn't all be hearing about that. I was glad to hear from everybody on all sides that there are absolutely no plans whatsoever to sell WBAI, because if that comes up, I've got a whole bunch of sets of handcuffs in my office, and we're going to be battling to keep all these stations together. And finally, from Miguel Gavila Molina, who is sick today, but he is a Latino, Chicano, indigenous member of the staff, couldn't make it, sick today, but there are all kinds of rumors going around that KPFA or the current management is going to hire a potentially thinking about hiring a white...
I think the 2 minutes was up.
Oh, okay.
A move to extend his time by how much?
2 minutes.
By 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Fine. Go ahead.
Thank
One
you
name.
Very much.
Go ahead.
Miguel is hoping that the next manager of KPFA reflect the new colors in the white minority state of California. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And, the clarification, I don't know how I'll get that.
Can
if...
I respond?
Wait a minute. No. I think...
asked a question.
Let's do that in the
okay,
report.
Okay.
What?
I'll do it.
This is public comments area. Yes.
Public commenters are not required to give their name.
Right. To be what?
Are not required to give their name.
Oh, okay. My apologies. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
I would wish that the chair hold the speakers to their 2-minute limit and that the speakers respect the signal to stop speaking at the two-minute limit, with no exceptions.
Question. Brian, was that beep, 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 the signal? Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Daniel Bergstrom.
Hello, I'm Daniel Bergstrom. And let me say to Margie and to Brian E.T., however much I may disagree with your politics and on many other things, I have had a very high opinion of your intelligence until recently. It looks to me like you've surrounded yourself with a bunch of incompetents. I mean, you tried to change the, I understand you tried to change the codes on the Pacifica door, and how do you think we found out about that? One of your incompetents dropped the ball. I mean, I could go, there's the ED you're thinking of hiring, or have supposedly have hired. People are asking, is this a COINTELPRO operation? And I said to someone, I said, yeah, it looks to me like Save KPFA has been infiltrated by the Keystone Cops. Just for example, now there's Jose Luis, who has made numerous attempts or various attempts on the Pacifica bank account. And I just, Jose Luis, I want to give you some career counseling. If you want to rob banks, do it the old-fashioned way. Get a gun.
Oh. It is old-fashioned.
Next, I guess I shouldn't say the Should I say your name? Who's next? Yeah. Virginia's next.
Well, I counseled Daniel against saying that, just for the record. Studying teaching, I was impressed by educators in the 20s and 30s who passionately thought through and worked for ways to allow the many to share the gift of life at its best. I'm always astounded that so many around here who call themselves Marxists seem not to grasp what I think is basic, that those with the biggest boot on their backs have the motivation and also the brave and desperate freedom of vision and, yes, intelligence to think through and work for something that actually makes sense. The kind of elitist type of backroom dealing that these people that, oh, I can't call them Marxists even though I'm a Marxist, because then I get yelled at for red baiting. Excuse me. Socialism involves people taking control of their own lives, shaping their own futures, and together controlling the resources that make such freedom possible. Socialism will come to nothing if it's not a movement of the great majority in the interests of the great majority. People can only become truly free through their own efforts. That's from Paul LeBlanc, historian, from his essay in Imagine Living in a Socialist USA that's just out.
Thank you, Virginia. Steve.
Hi, my name is Steve Gilmartin. We finally have a knowledgeable, hardworking, and efficient executive director who's working actively to rescue Pacifica, which has been teetering on the brink. And she has her contract voided without benefit of counsel, HR advice, or notice, opening up the foundation to liability and risking uninsurability. So my question is, what's going on? I consider the Pacific National Board's actions under the current majority to be the actions of a rogue board. First, Margie Wilkinson's ascension to the chair is the result of a botched and illegitimate electoral process, and every action taken by the board since then has been illegal. stop destabilizing the network and get back to the work of rescuing it.
Wanda.
Hi, well, my name's Wanda Workington, and I would like to speak on some issues that I find to be extremely concerning that are happening in our world and that KPFA will not report. And that's what I'm my main concern, and I believe that those who are on the so-called Save KPFA group are those who are protecting those who perpetrate some of the most awful things on our planet. And I have in 2009, I was working on trying to stop the U.S. Navy from their plans to expand warfare testing over Northern California. I know we're not allowed to talk about things that happen over the people of this country. We can talk about other people and how sad it is. But if we took care of our own area, maybe we could take care of other people too. But anyway, now after 5 years, I tried to get this on the air. I called Chris Welch. She said, oh, that sounds terrible. By the way, I thought Chris Welch had a great show on the human genome today. But she would not speak. She didn't. She said she was going to put it on the show, and she didn't the following day. And now, again, the U.S. Navy is renewing their EIS, Environmental Impact Statement, and the public comment period is finished April 15th, and I bet not one of you knows about it. I would just like to call your attention to it. If you'd like to go to this website, it's the Northwest Training NWTTEIS.com, and it's the Navy's website. So this isn't a conspiracy theory. It's actually a fact. They are asking permission from all of us to please, can we take dolphins and mammals, and can we also put some red phosphorus? We might blow up a few bombs. And, you know, we need to keep our service people away from harm. So we need to test over our own country. So wake up, KPFA.
Thank you, Wanda.
Could I have that website again, please?
Could you say the website again?
Yes. It's capital NWTTEIS, all capitals, .com, Northwest Training and Testing. And you can make a public comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Geneva.
Thank you. I have two subjects to address as quickly as I can. The first I would like to address is slander against myself and my daughter. She is not a right-wing person, has never belonged to nor donated to any right-wing political group, nor indeed to any political group of any stripe, and neither have I. I am not a fundamentalist. I am a radical Catholic anarchist, and I wish you people would stop at least lying. If you can't tell the truth, don't open your mouth. Anyway, then I would like to go on to describing for you the qualifications of Bernard Duncan, the person that they would like to replace my daughter with. He came to work for KPFK in the summer of 2011. On May 6, 2012, he produced a Hero Awards concert for Gil Scott-Heron at a cost of over $100,000. He had been told by myself, my daughter, and numerous other people at the station when he first got there not to engage or do work with certain individuals who had worked on the previous year's concerts and had done a very poor job of it. He ignored that advice and entered into secret agreements with them. He not only did that, he paid five or six times more to the very producer who had done a bad job the year before and paid her $20,000 as opposed to three or four. He engaged the Nokia at a cost of between $30,000 and $40,000 when the Catalina Bar and Grill had been offered to us for free and was a much more appropriate venue in terms of its size and support for the station. The long and the short of it, it was a badly produced concert. He ignored every piece of advice. He entered into these contracts and agreements secretly while at the same time attending a budget board meeting and did not tell anyone on the board that he was doing this. He was supposed to get their permission for any contract over $5,000. He immediately started with $50,000 off the top without telling anyone, and because the Nokia, the rental was $30 to $40. And he did all that secretly and lost over $70,000 for the station in his first public action.
Thank you. That concludes your time.
Well, I would ask someone to give me a minute of their time for the later thing that he did involving the business manager.
Andrea, how much?
2 minutes, you
save time, Mr.
Bernstein.
Thank you. Oh, wait a second. There's a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. Go ahead. You've got two more minutes.
Thank you. This concert was a disaster. The venue was barely a third filled. It was not. There were no headliners listed. It cost $70,000 when it was supposed to be a fundraiser. And this was done in defiance of everything. He was supposed to get the ED's permission. He didn't do that. More recently, a few months ago, the business manager at the time at KPFK was discovered by one of the tech workers to be running two separate businesses on company time and computer equipment. He had people's personal ID information. He was running a tax return service for H&R Block on KPFK's computers on our time. When this was brought to Bernard Duncan's attention, his response was, "I don't want to hear about that." And he did nothing to stop it. The new manager had to fire this business manager. This is the quality and character of the people they want to take over this foundation. If you have any doubt that they want to ruin it, this is how to do it.
Thank you. This is public comment. There's not back and forth in this. Next is Craig Williams.
Hi, thank you. My name is Craig Williams. I'm from San Leandro. I'm also on the outreach committee, and basically I'm here to say that, we need to move forward, and I've got a few ideas in terms of bringing in more new listeners. The first of which I started to experiment with at the Peter Dale Scott event, which was approaching people about Facebook. As it turns out, there's an interesting divide, generational divide. A lot of the young people are very interested, and they get excited. You say, "Hey, can you like us on Facebook?" And, they just start to smile. It's a very good thing to approach young people with. Maybe our interns can do something at political events or music events. But anyway, I just made up a little card. If you have something just the size of a card, it's pretty effective. And every day you get two or three notices about things happening on KPFA. It's all free, and it's a way of reaching young people. There's a lot of discussion about how we're going to reach young people. This might be an option. The second thing, I get my T-shirt on, Overpass Light Brigade. The people in Wisconsin, have been doing this in the cold against Walker. We could do this locally. I heard someone once say that there, on 880, there's 500,000 cars that travel there every day. We don't have to start on an overpass on a highway. We could start on San Pablo Avenue. We could start on University. But we could start to develop this concept. It's called the Overpass Light Brigade. And the third thing is that we have so many authors that are interviewed at KPFA. This is a tremendous wealth. In a sense, KPFA is like a knowledge-creating industry. I took some of the authors who were interviewed in January, and what I have here is links to it. We could do outreach to unions. We could do outreach to teachers. We could do outreach to a lot of different people on the phone and just get permission to...
Did you have more you wanted to say that went on for a while?
I'll just finish that just to say that, we can send these links to people. We do like 30 or 40 book interviews a month. We can send this to people for free, and if they start to like it, then potentially they could become, listeners and contributors. So
thank
that's
you.
Mine.
Thanks for that positive.
Thank you very much. The card's coming around, Andrea. He's got a thing there. Aki.
I've been on this board for a long time, so I know how it is to sit here. But I just wanted to address, we have another conflict coming, and every time there's a financial situation, we always get into a big old beef, just like any other family, and that's what's happening here. And just wanted to say that, you know, the divide, we still had to live in the same house, and then the peace is possible. I think that both paid and unpaid could and should work together to produce the best progressive radio, and it could be done. And what happens is that anytime these conflicts come up, the rhetoric just totally escalates, and everybody sort of like buys into it. Like with the layoff in 2010, you know, there was all this charge of union busting. Well, there was no union busting. It was just somebody using the union flag to push a political agenda. It was just really easy to see that, you know, station hire 125% more, you know, payroll increased by 125% in the previous years, and which is the reason why that happened. And similar thing is happening now with the ED and the PNB. Same rhetoric, same kind of argument is being made to divide and get people to buy into their side. And these people should realize that, hey, anytime somebody makes that kind of accusation, you should be wise enough or old enough to know, hey, there's something wrong with this kind of discourse. And we should all remember that you know, we're all a big family, and there really isn't a divide. It's just the people create divide and people buy into it. We should just simply say, stop, don't buy into all of the divide that's going on. And then the, you know, 65th anniversary is coming up in a few days. We should be celebrating it instead of engaging all these little conflict that we have. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Aki. Brian?
Hello, my name is Brian. You guys occasionally see me when you meet over in Oakland. I normally never drag my ass over here, but I thought this was going to be important. I've been paying attention, and I know it's the national board that's been having the problems, but I figured it would filter down to this today, and I wanted to show up and see what was happening, and I appreciate everybody else showing up here. I'm on the mailing list for Save KPFA. I read what they have to say. I have to make a little more effort, but I do try and find the UnitedForCommunityRadio.org site to find the others' opinion. That's UnitedForCommunityRadio.org. And, you know, I just kind of, to follow up with what Aki said, I mean, I've said it before when I show up here, this is a very valuable resource for the community. And I hope that everybody, both sides, can get over their fight and do the best for KPFA and for the four other stations in the network, for those of you who are on the national board. I've lived all over the country. There's just a dearth of decent radio, and it's hard to find out what's going on, and I really appreciate what both sides of this put in, to all both sides of people on air, staff, and the producers and everything. So I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you. There's no more people signed up. Some people came in later. Did anybody want it? Okay. Thank you. That concludes the public comment period of the agenda. And there's no IGM here, so I think we move to the treasurer's report. Yes, what?
Sorry, I just noticed that there is no announcements portion.
Oh,
so
okay.
Maybe could
we could stick it in here. Yeah, that's not normally where it is. So thank you, Janet.
I will pass out a document while you're doing announcements because I have a couple to pass out. So
okay. Okay. David? Okay. Okay. And Janet has an announcement, I believe. Okay, here.
Well, besides Income Tax Day, April 15th is the 65th anniversary of Pacifica and KPFA, and I'm curious what is planned for that on KPFA.
David?
My announcement is a rather personal one. I have a CD of music that my friend and I recorded, and I pressed up, and there was a misprint So the manufacturer had to send me 500 more of them, so I have a whole bunch of these slightly... The music on it is fine, but there's a weird little misprint on the cover. So I brought enough copies to share with all my fellow board members if anybody's interested in some free music. Come see me at the end of the meeting.
Brian, and then Cynthia, and then Margie, and then Ramses, and then Frank. Who's taking a list? Nobody. You're taking a list. You need a pen and paper. I have no idea what the order was I just said.
Well, you said Brian.
Brian.
So Pacifica Incorporated in 1946, but KPFA started its first broadcast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on April 15th of 1949. And that's the anniversary that we're marking Tuesday. A bunch of people, Tina, Laura Privis, who works on my show, have been combing through archival material for a birthday celebration, pulling some amazing moments in history out of our archive. We're going to have a day-long fundraiser because KPFA's first broadcast marked the birth of the first successful experiment in listener-supported radio in the world. And our goal is to raise enough money to slice a big chunk of time off our May fund drive, as we did in the winter. We have interviews with people who were around at the founding of KPFA, who likely will not be with us for that much longer. Richard Moore, who was a close associate of Lou Hill, and also Adam David Miller, who's been volunteering more or less continuously with KPFA since 1949. Different programmers have different things planned, but please do tune in, and if you have the time free to help in the phone room for the pledging portion, the phone room opens at 6:30 a.m., and we can always use more hands on deck.
Now, as I said, I have no idea who I called on for the more announcements. Margie, Cynthia, Frank, Jose Luis. Okay.
Just on the 65th anniversary, actually, all five stations in the network are going to be celebrating the 65th anniversary in different ways. KPFA is more KPFA-focused. Some of the others will be more focused towards the foundation or towards their specific stations. Some of it will be things like a portion of every hour, something will be played from the archives. Different stations are doing different things. But it is recognized throughout the network. That was just in response to Janet's question. I wanted to say that the April 14th is the International Day Against Military Spending, and it will be celebrated, I don't know if that's the right word, it will be observed in over 100 countries. And right here in Berkeley, Grandmothers Against the War will be distributing a very informative pamphlet on the issue of military spending at all of the BART stations. 30 of the BART stations throughout the BART system will have individuals from various organizations handing out these pamphlets that inform people on the day before their taxes are due how their money is spent. And if anybody's interested in helping, us old ladies who will be gathering at the various Berkeley BART stations would welcome your support. We'll be starting at 7:15 a.m. at any of the East Bay BART stations, and finishing up when we run out of flyers, or at 9:15, whichever comes first.
Cynthia.
Can I just clarify?
Wait a minute with the mic.
Sorry. Clarify, Margie, was that 7:15 p?
No, a.m.
A, okay. Great.
7:15 a.m.
Great. At every BART station. Wonderful. Berkeley, every BART station, Abe. Anyway, I just want to say how important Pacifica KPFA is, and I want to believe that everyone has the best interests of all of this at heart. I know I, as a member of our BFUU.org, we're having an international peace activist, Kathy Kelly, on Thursday night, and Friday morning she'll be at Livermore. All these great things that we want to do, Sunday, Vortex, Resistance, etc. And I'll make a room in my schedule on Tuesday to come in and answer phones, because I think this is so important. And I just, we are having an open, the Berkeley Fellowship on Sunday the 27th at 2 p.m., an open forum for all points of view on how we save our Pacifica, save KPFA. We do not want, obviously, we do not want to sink Pacifica KPFA. And so save that day, too, as well, if you could, Sunday, April 27th, 2 p.m. at Bonita and Cedar, to see if we can get some transparency on what is going on in our beloved Pacifica KPFA.
Frank?
So for those who said that Chris Welch had a great DNA show today, that event will be a video broadcast stream on kpfa.org. And like your event, it'll be next Thursday at the Brower Center at 7:30. And if anybody has a Facebook following, if they want to go to YouTube and just write this down now, search for Critical Conversations on Emerging Technology. I made a video PSA for KPFA's video broadcast, and you can just copy the YouTube link.
Say it one more time.
It's Critical Conversations on Emerging Technology. And it should be the first one. It's a 1 minute, 21 second video PSA about KPFA and the video broadcast. And you can just copy and paste that to your post on your Facebook, and it'll just inform anybody that gets it about the video broadcast that, you know, we're trying to do a lot more video broadcasting. This is all part of it. And thank you, Chris and Mitch, and soon to be Dennis, maybe, to cover that issue. So we'll get a lot of video viewers on our channel. And my second announcement is that my high school broadcast is going forward Friday, May 9th, from Antioch, Live Oak High School in Antioch. Anybody's invited to come out. I'll send out a staff announcement, but if you just want to tune in, of course, tune in to Full Circle Friday night, May 9th, for a community broadcast from Antioch at Live Oak High School with high school student guest hosts and stuff like that.
What time?
7 o'clock Friday night, May 9th, live from Antioch.
Jose Luis.
Okay. So on May 3rd at 2 p.m., People United for a Better Life in Oakland, Pueblo, is having a conversation with Professor Victor Rios from UC Santa Barbara. He's the author of Street Life Poverty Gangs. And that's at on May 3rd, 2 p.m. at Castlemont High School in East Oakland. If anyone can attend, would be a great conversation on inner youth struggles there.
Is there anybody else for public comment? Not public announcements, I'm sorry.
Castlemont.
Thank you.
Okay, and so I got myself, thank you, Jose Luis, got myself last on the list. And here's.
But I'm going to be on the list after.
Okay. So Rem says here, and I have just a little bit of some labor announcements that I wanted to throw in there, since that's what I'm involved in. First, I want to announce, you know, that in San Francisco, a coalition group of labor and community organizations have filed a $15 minimum wage ballot measure. So in a few weeks, we should be having petitions out to gather signatures for it. And, you know, basically this is probably the strongest ballot measure being planned in the country for a minimum wage increase. But there's been a huge response from, like, the mayor and the restaurants associations. They really, really don't like this, right? And they hate that we put a ballot measure first before they did, right? So just look out for a lot of momentum to build up and possibly a fight in San Francisco, and also support the campaign in Oakland, and for which is going to be $12.25 an hour. That's ongoing, plus sick pay. And I believe Berkeley and Richmond are also developing their campaigns. So just want to put out there that folks should really support the minimum wage increases, because that's really important for people to earn more money. Tax Day, this is a plug for San Francisco, SEIU 10-1 that I belong to. We're going to be doing a big rally in March, Civic Center around downtown a little bit, and out to the Twitter building to basically demand that the city government stop giving all these tax cuts to the wealthy tech companies that are bringing in a lot of people with higher incomes and displacing a lot of people in San Francisco, while at the same time they're cutting workers, you know, and not trying to support higher minimum wage for workers in San Francisco. So that's happening for tax day from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. in San Francisco, starting at City Hall. And just want to let you all know, for folks who don't know, Mills College in Oakland, adjunct professors or contingent faculty have filed for a union election. So if you see them out somewhere, support them. They're trying to form a union under SEIU, and basically you can talk to them about it and really just support them. I think it's going to be an election in about a month, and also San Francisco Art Institute contingent faculty as well trying to form a union. So.
Thank you. My announcement concerns long-term solitary confinement in California. Tom Amiano has put a bill into the legislature, which in some other situations would seem like a bad bill, but in California is a good bill, because California uses long-term solitary confinement both in absolute numbers and percentage of incarcerated at levels that is unmatched anywhere in the world. And a high percentage of those in long-term solitary confinement are there because of their association, not for anything they did. You do not get sentenced to solitary confinement. It's a prison assignment, an internal prison assignment. And about 4,500 of the solitary confinement people in California are there because of their category as gang members. If you commit one of 14 acts of violence internally in prison, you get a maximum of 5 years in solitary confinement. If you are in there because of association, you are in there indefinitely. And over 20 people have been in there over 20 years. Over 40 people have been in there over 20 years. And so Amiano's bill says that it's Bill AB 1652, and it argues that it has legislative language that you can only be sent to solitary confinement for one of 14 violent acts, and those acts are the ones that have the maximum of 5 years. So, as I said, in some places like New York, where they only use it for 18 months, in other states where they use it even less than that, it would seem like it was not a good bill, but here it is a good bill because it changes things dramatically. Anyway, AB 1652. That concludes the announcements. Thank you, Janet. Okay. Treasurer's report.
Okay. I'm glad we had a break in between because I'm going to hand out another sheet of paper. It looks very similar, but I'll tell you what the differences are, to the one I handed out before we started the announcements. You'll remember last LSB meeting, we talked about a report of the way the income had come in for the fund drive that we'd just finished. And so the first piece of paper I passed out was the very same one that you got last time, and it says up in the corner, handwritten, TR1. That's a number assigned by the secretary when, after the meeting is over, he posts these things on the LSB webpage. So TR1 is a repeat of the last month's report, and this one that I've just handed out now is this month's report, and it's through time will show you how the records change as the income rolls in. As you know, when people make pledges, some of them are paid immediately and some are paid over time. Some people are sent a bill and they send back a check. So the key thing to look at here is the rate, we call it the fulfillment rate. They didn't put fulfillment, the word, on this page, but the first line talks about the total And the amount pledged, the amount of that pledge that has been paid, and the difference. And so just those three top figures there, if you look at the old, the last month's report, the amount pledged at that point was $596,985. Now, in this new month, it's gone up $597,440. So that difference, that increase over the month, are the web pledges that came in after the fund drive ended. They count for a couple of weeks as income toward the solicited funds that we were requesting during the fund drive. So then, of course, the next column shows the total amount paid and the difference, but the rate, which is the percent figure that you see there, last month, at the right at the end of the fund drive, it was 56% paid. Now, this report shows us at this stage of the game, it's gone up to 70%. So this is how these reports reflect the way the income is coming in. This is a document that's used by people who plan for the next fund drives during our budgeting. They look at the history of how things happened and what we did. This report, MEMSIS system, computer system, has a lot of data in it, and our data manager is able to have people ask questions. Well, what about, tell us how the income looks for this or that. And he can make new reports. This is the most common one we've used, shows how people pay, you know, whether they pay with credit cards or non-credit cards, people who paid without requesting a premium, that sort of thing. I'm just giving you this. If it brings up any other questions, you can ask, but, you know, you may have to delve into it with the data manager. However, I also want to say that there has been a report we've circulated a couple of times. I haven't done it today, but this same kind of information is in a report that shows how certain shows have raised money. And it shows how many times the shows were or programs were broadcast during the period. You know, some are broadcast more days, others are once a week. And there's a wonderful comparison about even the special things that happened during the fund drive. You know, there was, for instance, there's some information in there about the weekly Grateful Dead show, but the Grateful Dead always has a big one-day, all-day thing. So that's in there as a special. Some other things that are specials during the fund drive are in there. And I just want to tell people that that report is available. If anybody on the CAB or anyone who is beginning to get interested in the programming issues, this is not the purview of the LSB, but it wasn't too long ago that was the hot topic everyone was working on. And so if there are people who are going to be working with the GM, whom we hope will soon be hired, and after that we might even get around to hiring a program director. And I know the CAB is interested in the programming and whether or not it's serving the communities, but we also have to look at, you know, what certain things cost and what certain things raise money. And so that kind of a report, it's much more extensive than this one-page thing, is available for people. are there any immediate questions about this?
Okay, so comparing the newer sheet with the older sheet, I noticed there are some numbers that have decreased in the, for example, total pledged additional gifts. That has decreased. Website, also lump sum payments, non-card. So I'm curious what that means or how come that's there.
Well, just taking lump sum payments, I don't remember what else you said.
Additional gifts, website.
Well, let me just look at this for a minute. All right, Brian, let Brian answer it.
That's from when Chris, who runs our database, has to correct something. So, for instance, someone might have called in and pledged money and then called in again to change their gift. But the way the volunteers filled out the cards, it went in as two separate pledges. And then they called up and said, no, I didn't pledge $500. I only pledged $250. So then Chris takes out one of those pledges. So you'll see very small adjusts to the total amount pledged, usually when people are calling in after they get their bills.
You know, there is one other thing I know affects this event eventually, not right after we finish a fund drive, but we have money coming in all the time, and sometimes people are paying pledges from a fund drive a long time ago. It fits into a category here, but it doesn't separate out from the current one. Now, that doesn't explain decreases. But people also do call up and say, oh, I really need to put that on a time thing. I shouldn't pay it all at once. Yes.
Don. Yes, thank you. Two questions. number one, do we only go after people who have not yet paid their pledges solely by mail? Or do we have a phone calling capacity at all?
We have not been phoning them. We send a notice initially when someone says they want to pay by check. Right. And if someone has paid by credit card, they get a notice at the same time, but it says their pledge has been paid, okay, if it's paid in full. And then we send a second notice if they haven't paid.
Right. Having been on the receiving end of that, that's why I raised the issue of maybe a thought could be given about calling people who have made substantial pledges.
It's been mentioned before, and it would take person power to do it, mm-hmm, and it would take somebody to coordinate it so you can keep track of stuff. We're not just randomly calling up people and, you know, calling them more than would be reasonable. But one thing I'll tell you about working in the phone room, some people are reluctant to give their phone numbers. And so far, we have been saying, we don't call you. We don't call and solicit people. It's in case this pledge card that I've filled out raises any questions during the processing, then someone may want to contact you. So it would take a big change. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. The main thing is, it takes people to do this, and it's not in anybody's job description.
Understood.
We've got job descriptions overflowing for the number of hours for people to do them.
The second question, mm-hmm, was on the credit card line.
Credit card, non-credit card, non-card?
No, the credit card line, $433,000, and so far paid $335,000. So, uh-huh, if somebody's giving their credit card number in the February fund drive, mm-hmm, and here we are in April, why haven't those credit cards been processed?
Well, some of them are time payments. You know, they put it on a credit card, and they say, I want to pay it over 10 months or 12 months.
So, yeah, it's not broken out that way for us to be able to see it.
It's not that they haven't been processed. They're all processed immediately during the time that this is going on. And those that are set up for time payments have to be set up to occur that way.
Great, because then that really does lead to the understanding that even though we have a pledge drive in a particular time frame, the amount of money that's pledged rolls in month after month after month after month,
right,
which makes it more difficult to track in a way.
Well, it makes it difficult to track, but in fact, what happens is we run into the next fund drive, and people who pay old pledges get rolled into this too.
I didn't see any more questions. David.
Yeah, I have a question, and then I may have a follow-up question depending on the answer.
Well, make your reservation now.
Under revenue, it says miscellaneous, other income.
We're still on.
We're still on the fund drive?
Yeah, we haven't started on the other thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, so you want to wait. Okay, so any more questions on the fund drive documents? No. Okay, so we're going to turn now, I guess, to the
profit and loss budget. This is a, let's see, how many months? 5 months. October, November, December, January, February. Yes, 5 months. Last month, last LSB meeting, we had a four-month report. And the books are really nearly closed for March, except that there were things that the national office needed to enter. So our business manager was reluctant to make a statement that included March because, for instance, the whole payroll wouldn't be in there because that is entered by the national office. And so we have this through 5 months. And let's just start with David's question. What question were you going to ask about revenue?
Well, I wanted to know, what does this consist of, the other income? It says 5 months actual, $10,085. Was the actual. So what was that about?
Which line are you talking
about? This is line 5599, miscellaneous, on the first page. Line 22, miscellaneous other income. In the second column, the five-month actual.
Well, there are certain things that fit into a category of miscellaneous. I don't have the breakdown, but it is available. Nobody's hiding anything. It's just that there are certain kinds of income that don't fit these other main categories that we use substantially.
So so if you had events, KPFA events. Where
that's not in there. They have their own line.
Where is their own line?
Up above. 14 and 15.
Oh, community or special events.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So that's 21,255, I see, for the 5 month actual. And so is there a breakdown by event and the?
Well, there is, but it isn't represented in this. There,
no, right.
You know, each event, the event coordinators turn in a report, how many tickets were sold, how many tickets at the door, that sort of thing. And there are records, and they're entered in the accounting system, mm-hmm. and in the general ledger, mm-hmm. and they end up in this. Each event is put under this same account code 5760, because it's one type of activity.
I see. And could I ask one more question about this? Not about that item, but. As I understand it, the Pacifica does an audit, has a required audit, which was apparently supposed to be done at the end of March, I believe, but it's been postponed.
It's supposed to be have begun then.
But done then. And then
not
now,
done, just begun. It takes a while to do an audit. It just,
right, but so now it's been put off till June. But
this no, it's starting next week.
Oh, starting next week, okay. You mean the work in preparing the audit starts next week?
No, I mean the auditors who are going to come and ask to see records. will begin next week.
I see. Okay, but this was for something that was actually due last year, am I correct, for the period that ended last
well,
year?
Well, the audits periods are in the past. You don't audit them immediately that the books close.
Right.
And so, yes, there has been some delay, but it is, I think at this point, not any worse than the delay we had last year, which was a difficult time. But there, it is being prepared for, and it's going to begin.
And my last question is, and there's some connection between CPB grant money and the production of this audit, is that correct?
The audit is good for two things. Legally, we're required to have it and have posted for public information a form called 990. It's like your income tax return, but for a nonprofit organization. They have a similar form. We're just not reporting that we're going to pay taxes on things. We're reporting how we spend the money that we get. And we have certain categories that we spend them on. Our main program for this nonprofit is producing radio shows. But we also have an expense of running the facility, so that's operational. And we have an expense of raising money, which they call development.
Thank you.
But what's the other purpose of the audit?
And the other purpose of the audit is to that the CPB uses certain categories of our income to determine how much of the CPB money we're going to be awarded. For instance, if you look at the first page here, go to the revenue section, the very first line, that's listener support. And the income, for instance, if you skip down to website income, in when we get income through the website, in between fund drives, it goes into this website income category. It's kind of considered to be unsolicited. Solicited income is listener support. That account code belongs to all the fund drives that we have where we're soliciting donations. When we solicit donations either over the air or by mail, the CPB looks at that total and some other figures about our market share and decides how much of the CPB money we get. And it's based on that category of income. So that's why it was important that I was telling you a little while ago that website income for, I think it's a two-week period after we finish a fund drive, is still counted as fund drive money, and it goes into this this account code 5000. We don't put all website income into 5011, only in between solicitations. Yes, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is the ones that use that category in order to determine how much of a grant we would get.
Yes, yeah, so two questions. One, what is the status of KPFA's bank reconciliations? You know, up to what point? You know, how current are they?
I'm not privy to exactly how, but I know they're still being worked on. And just so people understand, you know, when you maybe balance your own checkbook, you've got a really simple setup. The books for this kind of an operation, you see all these different account codes, different kinds of income that come in, to the station in different ways. So there's a level, there's about five or six or so many levels of reconciliation that have to happen each month. And they more or less happen over the whole year. In other words, it's very gradual until you get to the point that each month is finally reconciled to the bank statement. So this is moving along, and I'm sure it will be pretty soon. I wish I could say exactly when.
Yeah. Well, it's my understanding that all the other stations.
No, your understanding about that is incorrect. All the other, there's a lot of problems with reconciling other stations that has not been known, not been discussed publicly.
Shouldn't be discussed publicly.
So can you, I think related to this, can you talk about why we haven't gotten CPB funding yet?
So CPB funding, we're a year and a half behind on CPB payments. It's over $1 million, roughly. To all five Pacifica stations. It was held up for two reasons, at least as it was reported to the national board. The first was Pacifica being late with last year's audit, which was not completed until August. But the second was Pacifica not meeting requirements for public notice of its meetings. Specifically, a requirement that three times every quarter each station play on three consecutive days an announcement saying where the website is that tells you when meetings are happening. And what we've been told, as you know, Janet, on the national board, is that the station we're waiting on compliance from on that point is WBAI, and all other stations have already documented compliance to the CPB.
Jose Luis.
There's a surplus of $178,913. Does that mean we can hire a development director because we have $178,913?
Which line are you looking at?
I am at the top. At the top says surplus $178,913 and. Is that going to, what's the forecast on that? Can we use that money to hire a development director? Or?
I think the best answer for this is the fact that this is a preliminary statement and there are things that are not in it yet. I don't think we have that kind of surplus at this point. Our business manager is very nervous about putting out reports that are not complete just because of the kinds of things that these questions that come up. And in fact, when I presented the last financial statement to the National Finance Committee, one of the directors from another station said, well, and so what do you intend to do to get this straightened out? And I said, well, the first thing we're going to do is get all the data entered. Andrea.
There's two items I'd like you to address, if you would.
If I can, I will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to understand. There's been a lot of talk going around, and sadly, I don't feel qualified to accurately address. What has been going on the internet is that we have not closed our books in quite some time. That the monthly reconciliation of our books hasn't happened in, I don't know if it's 14 months or something like that. I'm curious as to why that situation is ongoing and why. I mean, I understand that businesses are complicated. They're more difficult than our personal household budgets and so forth. But we have a business manager. And the folks that I talked to in the national office have said that they're willing to help. If you guys feel overwhelmed in there, if you feel like it's too complicated, if it's something that's happening that is hard to do, that they've offered their assistance. They say that they can help. And what's happening is that we're losing some credibility in the public mind. I feel it's important for the public, the contributing public particularly, to feel confident that the money that they give to us will be well spent and will be publicly accounted for. And so I feel a bit nervous when you say that you're not privy to the information. That makes me feel nervous. Well, so I'd love to hear you. When you say you're not, you're the treasurer of our station, and so if you're telling me that you don't feel privy to the bank reconciliation, maybe you want to clarify that.
That's
you can
not
elaborate.
What I meant. Okay,
that's
fine. I wasn't
fine.
Privy to,
but it's I feel some unrest, and I'm just curious about what's happening. How can we project from here some clear, honest, forthright reconciliation of our books to regain the public confidence? I also wanted to follow up from last meeting. There had also been some talk about the way that public events are accounted for, and that there had been some question that these KPFA-sponsored events, you said that there are reports mm-hmm. where the number of tickets are mm-hmm. counted. I would presume that there's an expense, a cost, and a mm-hmm. and a
there's
revenue.
An income and expense report
correct.
For each event.
So last meeting, I asked if we could look at some of that and perhaps dispel some of the concerns being voiced by members of the public that money is somehow not accounted for, and perhaps we could dispel that. So I'm hoping that maybe you've come with that information today.
You know, if I were to ask our business manager to prepare, it would be preparing a whole nother report in order. Well, there's already a great.
Let me be clear. I don't want any new information.
Well,
because I my hope
it's
I think,
individually reported. Andrea.
Great. So we could just look at those.
These are huge files. I'm not bringing all this business files here. What would be answering your question would be a summary that shows the income and expense for each event. But this is something that eventually we might be able to get.
But doesn't it have to be synthesized on an annual basis? Don't you have
it's
to bring that information?
It's synthesized in the general ledger. It does not break down the name of every event. But those are
there should be dates and income?
Yeah. The records are in the business office. I can go to the file and pick out the thing with all the papers attached, all the receipts, everybody's explanation about the income and expense for each of these events.
Don.
Just to follow up on this issue. Quote, there's been a lot of chatter on the internet about KPFA's finances. And let's be clear who's been creating that chatter. Somebody who used to sit on this local station board. Somebody who was the chair of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. She had a lot of time while she sat on this board and on the PNB to make a lot of noise about these allegations, which I am sure those who are thoughtful and level-headed in this room and are listening will understand, as I asked the question earlier, that the monies coming in come in over time. So to pin them down onto a specific date is pretty absurd. Don't you interrupt me now, Andrea, because you have a habit of doing that. Okay? I didn't interrupt you. Now, if you want to understand part of the reason why KPFA, and for that matter, other stations in this network, are not able to function at the level that you would like, you have to ask yourself how it is that people get removed from IGM positions here with increasing regularity, and who was responsible for that in the past year, and you yourself know very well, Andrea, that you were unhappy with the removal of Andrew Phillips. Well, the general manager is supposed to have the overview of the entire administrative apparatus of the station, including the financial aspects of it. So to try to pin this on Barbara is a little absurd to begin with. So then we have another interim general manager imposed upon us a few months back, and now his time has been divided between two stations, KPFA and KPFK. And you expect that person to be able to understand what is going on financially at each station when he's flying back and forth. That, to me, is crazy, inept, incompetent management incurred on this network by somebody who now claims to still be the executive director, locking herself into the administrative offices of this network, period.
Craig, Jack, David. Okay, you're the third. It's, I think, the third time. So if people come before you, they'll get it. Ramses. There are no third. Okay. And are you keeping track of time? Remarks. I thought we have a 3-minute rule, don't we?
Just tell me so I'm not the one making the rule. Huh?
So, time. Okay, we've got Craig, Jack, yes, and David and Ramses. Craig.
So, I understand there are a lot of allegations out there. I know Andrea has raised some of them, and you know they are out in the internet. Some of them, I think, frankly, are scurrilous and libelous charges of embezzlement. People who've committed their lives and careers to KPFA. I mean, what a way to build a station by going after people. Scorched earth policy. Burn everybody you can. But it seems to me like we here on the board aren't in a position to do this. I'm not an accountant. But if we have questions here, let's ask the auditors. I mean, if our board is concerned about whether finances are and records are being handled improperly, whether there's embezzlement, you know, the purpose of auditors is to look at this stuff and make sure that that's not happening and then give a report, you know, that it is or it isn't, or this is what needs to be improved or changed or whatever. We've had audits of KPFA finances every year. KPFA has come through fine, I mean, you know, relatively fine. There haven't been charges of, you know, embezzlement and that kind of thing in previous years. But the auditors are coming here next week, and if this board has a concern about that, let's just send them a letter and say, these are our concerns. Can you look into this? Those people are far more capable and knowledgeable about practices than I am and we are. And so yeah, that's the solution, I would think.
I think Jack, then David, then Ramses. And what? Okay. Jack.
I'll pass.
David.
So I have a question for Barbara about the auditor. When the auditor comes in and looks at all the records, they would look at the summary records, or would they go down to the nitty-gritty, to the let's say to the individual event, KPFA event? Would they look at each one?
They look at the overall picture first, and then they start asking for documentation. They take random things, and they say, show us this, you know, the records for this particular something or other, and many something or others.
Or even individual receipts for yes. reimbursements.
Yes, they look at a lot of details, but not every single thing.
Right.
The people who prepare the records have to be prepared to have all the records available. But yeah. then the auditors choose what they're going to audit. And if they find something that's questionable, they pursue it more.
Could I just have a follow-up question? I think it would, a member of the LSB who has no accounting experience or anything like that, for them to go into the KPFA office and look at the file, and we may not necessarily know what we're looking at, but I think what Craig is suggesting is that if an LSB member has a concern, to write it down as a letter to the auditor. Is that what you're?
As a board, we should.
As a board, yeah.
Send a letter saying
we're concerned, for instance, about the events. We want to know how do the events shape up, individual events and the total and all that kind of thing, and put this to rest. You know, either. It's okay or it's
there's,
not. And
there's another thing I could suggest about putting that to rest. And although she's extremely busy, our business manager, in fact, has 3 times the duties that some of the other business managers have. And if it's not 3, it's twice as many. And but she has said over and over again, if you have a question, come to see me and she would be happy to show records to people. So I don't think everybody on the LSB should bombard her at once, but, you know, if someone other than me wants to go in and look at the records for the events, I think we could arrange that at some point, have a meeting, you know, for an hour or so you could look at the kind of record keeping that's done for the events.
Ramses and then Jack.
I'll pass.
Jack.
Whoops. Yeah,
Brian. Brian. Time there.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is a perfect example of...
Run the clock.
This is a perfect example of what we've been dealing with over the past months. Someone made up an accusation that there was embezzlement in the events. There was no proof, no nothing. They made it up. They made it up, and they put it out on the internet, and then it becomes a question of the public is questioning the financial integrity of KPFA because of this charge that there was embezzlement having to do with events, when the charge was completely made up with no evidence behind it, but it was put out on the internet, so it floats around there, and then it comes back here and says, prove that it's not true. So that is what's happening. It's happening with charges of embezzlement with events. It's happening with charges of irregularity in the books. That's what's happening. And some people who are articulating those charges may, in fact, be utterly innocent of the absolutely false and malevolent origin of those charges. But some people here are cynically involved in leveling those charges on the internet and then claiming that the public is losing confidence in the station. One way or another, let's label it for what it exactly is: cynical duplicity and unfounded charges. And that's not the way to play the game with this station.
I have nobody else listed. I think, I don't know that we did. You did two times. You spoke two times. Yes, on budget. David, did you have another remark? Oh, and do you want to speak?
Well, these you asserted, brother, that these charges were made up by somebody out of whole cloth. Well, if that's true, an examination of the books will, of these particular books, and it's being raised by people who I believe are of goodwill. Well, excuse me. I was not circulating these allegations. However, now that I've heard them, I want to see to make sure it's true or not, because I've heard it from not just one person, but I've heard it from a number of different people. And I think the simple thing is our duty as a board is to bring these to light and to make sure that it's correct. That's all.
Okay. Can we give Andrea 2 minutes and so we can put this to rest and close the session?
If you've spoken twice on this topic, that's the rule, and it's over.
I think one time she responded to something. That's where the confusion is.
She can have my 2 minutes.
Speech rather than less for Christ's sake.
Let her talk.
Yep.
Go ahead.
You guys, I just wanted to be real clear. I'm not making allegations. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I don't feel informed enough. I'm not saying it. I'm not repeating it. Donna, please be clear. What I find myself is, as I sit on this board, I'm not able to dispel them. I'm not able to say, no, that's not true. I would like to empower myself to be able to do that. And when I ask a question, if I say quite directly, what is the last month that the KPFA books were reconciled and closed, and why is it that we're having difficulty providing information to the auditors, which is what I'm hearing from employees in the Pacifica National office, which I guess if you don't trust them, but those are the people who right now, I'm sorry, but I feel like they're working pretty closely with the finances. I'm asking a really direct question, and I am troubled that if individuals, you know, when I work a gig or we do produce an event, we create a sheet for each one, which is a reporting, an accounting of each. It's not files and files and files. And it's not donations over time. It's a one-time event. Sure, there's some online ticket sales, but you know how much money you made that day. So I feel a little mystified as to why it's so difficult to produce that information in a way that's digestible to us and easily communicated to the public. That's all I want to do. I don't want to defame anybody, and I don't want to be accused simply for asking questions. I think that's the healthy and right thing to do, and I think that's our responsibility.
Barbara. I would like to ask Andrea and David, since you've been bringing these things up, if you would like to make an appointment at some time that we can do agreeable with the business manager, and I would be there, and we'll show you the documents for each event.
Is that a yes?
I'm happy to do that, and I also feel like we should have written documentation of that. And I'd also like to repeat my question, which is, what is the last month in which KPFA's books were reconciled and closed?
Fiscal year 2013 is closed.
The fiscal year is closed. The question has been the complete reconciliations. And I can't tell you. But because of the fact, the way it's going to work, once all these layers of reconciliation are happening, then all the months are going to be reconciled very quickly. And there are a couple in the beginning that have been completed, but there is still these layers of reconciliation that need to go on.
Anyway, the books are closed for 2013. Are we going to go on with this, or are we going to have a break, or are we going to move to the PNB report? Are we taking a break? Or
10-minute break.
A P break, sorry. P or PNB. Did somebody else want to talk? No.
Can I just ask something?
Sure. And then we're taking a break.
I was just curious if all these people how many of them come to hear us, you know, discuss other issues. I'm just curious if they're going to be waiting after our break, where we'd be discussing the PMB report, stuff like that.
We've got a 10-minute break. We're taking a break.